We began 2 weeks ago this study in this wonderful little golden book of Ruth. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Ruth, it has been said, means rose. And she was certainly a rose in the midst of a thorny world by the grace of God. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. It's interesting how the original has it. It seems to be quite drawn out that they didn't just go in return. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now, it may seem quite drawn out, but sometimes it takes a while for it to sink in. And the Lord knows what He's doing in this Hebrew language which He gave. Verse 8, And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. I wasn't that kind of Naomi. Though she had lost her husband and she was advanced on in years, she wished well for these younger women that they would be remarried and happy, not selfishly thinking about her own plight. Verse 10, And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughter. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughter. Go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also denied and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughter. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara. That means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Amen. I trust that the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts today. I said this little golden book of Ruth is where we are this morning. This book is chock full of wonderful spiritual food. The Lord Jesus Christ is set before us. He is the bread of life and the house of bread, Bethlehem. He is the Boaz. Not only the bread, He is the Boaz, the true kinsman redeemer that we come to know in the second chapter. You may remember that 2 weeks ago, I gave you an outline. 4 points. There are 4 chapters. 1 point goes with each chapter. And each one has the kinsman redeemer in it. Now, we've not met the kinsman redeemer yet. And we've read the first chapter. But the first chapter sets forth the necessity for the kinsman redeemer. Chapter 2, the identity of the kinsman redeemer. The third chapter, the affinity with the kinsman redeemer. It was a marriage. And chapter 4, the felicity in the kinsman redeemer. What blessing. What a future that even the great kinsman redeemer has come to us somehow through this kinsman redeemer, Boaz. Glory to God. Well, 2 weeks ago we considered the first 5 verses. We are slowing down to a snail's pace. I thought we were only going to get 1 verse today. And you know how sometimes preachers even preach on part of a verse. But we may actually have 2 verses today. But we had 5 verses. And you may remember, we're going to continue under that theme. The 5 verses, we looked by asking 5 questions to the 5 verses. Each question beginning with a W. Why, who, where, what. All those, okay, we'll get that. But we're going to continue under the theme of the wanderers, because these people wandered from their own place and they met with lots of trouble. You know, the Scripture warns us, even through the example of the bird that wandereth from his own place, putting himself in danger. And so they put themselves in great danger. We do well to learn what our own place is, that we not wander. We need to know very clearly the moving of the cloud, as the children of Israel learned in the book of Numbers, that they were not to move unless the cloud moved. And the Lord is our keeper, and how we need to keep ourselves in the place of safety and in the place of God's directive will, and not simply in the place of His permissive will, if you want to say that, what He would let us do and leave us alone to do. He let King Hezekiah do his own thing. Oh, what trouble he got in. May God deliver us. Well, there are those 5 things we looked at, 5 questions. Number one, when did they wander? It was in the time of the famine, in the time of the judges. And secondly, who wandered? The names of them are given. The man Elimelech, whose name means my God is the King. I should be bowing to Him above all else, doing His pleasure and not my own. But my God is King. He's the one that's all sufficient and able to supply. And yet I deny Him by going away from the place where He has put me. Elimelech, his two sons, Malon and Chilion, whose names meant sickly and consumption. And they certainly passed away. The third question, where did they wander? They wandered in Moab, a pagan, cursed land, a land of people despised by the Lord. And fourthly, why did they wander? Without a good reason they wandered. It was not a good reason. Fifthly, what were the results of their wandering? Death and destruction. Judgment, guilt, regrets and grief. That's what it was. Sorrow and mourning. So today, we're going to see the wanderer left alone. Having lost her husband and her two sons, and even her precious daughters-in-law had lost their husband. The wanderer, especially Naomi. We'll look at Orpah, and we'll look at Ruth later on. But Naomi today, let's think a little about Naomi. As a wanderer, there are three R's. Not reading, writing, arithmetic, but three R's. Reaping awful results, first of all. Reaping awful results. Secondly, rising after ruin. Rising after ruin. And then thirdly, returning argues repentance. Meaning that her returning to Judah argues that God granted her the gift of repentance. Hallelujah. All right, so reaping awful results. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 tells us, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption." And did not Elimelech reap literally the corruption of his own flesh, his own dead body, by walking away from the land that God had put him in, the promised land? Do you see any good that Abraham or Isaac accomplished by turning out of the land in the time of famine? Neither do we see good coming from Elimelech forsaking the rest. Now, you got to understand, when Jacob and all his family went down into Egypt, it was a different thing. Hey, but look, the bulk of God's chosen people stayed, and God fed them and cared for them during that awful time. Well, by leaving the place of God's covenant care, Elimelech literally reaped the corruption of his own decayed flesh and body. Naomi, by abiding in a heathen and lost land, her husband was gone. But not only that, also her two sons, she lost them as well. In Moab, idolatry and enmity to God reigned. It was a place of rebellion against the true and the living God. And I tell you, as long as Naomi continued in Moab, she could not enjoy rest, nor could she enjoy peace in her heart. It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 2:4. Even when that goodness leads us through dark, fearsome and lonesome valleys like she went through, those three valleys of the shadow of death that those loved ones. Lonesome valleys of affliction. Even then, it is God's grace at work and awesome judgments that bring us back to the place that we must be in with Him. Sin certainly carries with it dreadful regrets and deep miseries, as Naomi came to understand. But we have seen Naomi reaping the awful results of sin. Now we see Naomi rising after ruin. And how sweet the words of verse 6 are. It's verses 6 and 7 that we're going to look at today. Verse 6, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return." That word "return" occurs a lot. The Hebrew word for "return" and "turn" are the same. And the word is also used for repentance in the ancient Scriptures. So it's good. She rises to return. Rising after ruin. The rod of God certainly has His voice in it. I want to turn back to the little prophecy of Micah for one verse there. There's a powerful verse in Micah chapter 6 and verse 9. She knew the voice of the Lord speaking through this rod of affliction and judgment. Micah 6 and verse 9, "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city." But who hears that voice? "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod! Hear ye the rod! And who hath appointed it?" The Lord appoints the rod, and the Lord's voice speaks in the rod. And Naomi hears it. And she rises to obey and return to her duty in the place of God's appointment. She cannot remain in Moab another day. She must be gone. You know, the Lord rouses us. He awakens us through affliction. If one affliction is not enough to rouse us to return to Him, He will send greater affliction. After the death of Elimelech, Naomi did not leave Moab. She may have been stunned. She may have not given proper attention to the rod of God speaking in the affliction. But the affliction gets stronger. The voice gets louder. And could she help wondering in the days that followed if she had then left when her husband died and returned to Israel, if she might have had her two sons alive and with her? Had she listened to the voice of God in the rod? It was after the severe trial of losing all three men in her family that Naomi responded and left Moab. What should we learn from that? When we have deaths in our families, we need to examine our lives to see where we need reforming, where we need to reform our way. For it is in death that our sins are called to remembrance. You remember that chosen widow in the land of Zarephath, where the Lord sent Elijah? She said when her son died, she said, "Are you come to call my sins to remembrance?" When her son died. Yes, we need to pause. We need to ponder. For God leaves us in this land of death and dying. We are surrounded by death and dying. It happens in our families. Death and dying are God's times for us to graciously afford us the luxury of considering deeply how empty and how sinful life is without Christ as the sum and without Him as the center of our lives. How meaningless. How useless, how vain is life lived without Him. And death is the call to remembrance, not only our sins, but how we are living before the Lord. Naomi, at last she heeds the voice of the Lord in the rod, and she rises. She must rise. She must return to Judah. No longer could she breathe with pleasure that air in which her loved ones had so recently expired. No longer could she tread upon that ground beneath which their bodies were buried. She must leave melancholy Moab to go back to joyful Judah. Back so that her salvation's joy can be restored to her heart. The Lord often takes away some of our comforts in this land of our sojourning so that we may set our hearts more on our home in heaven and hasten toward it. Earth is embittered so that heaven can be endeared and even sweetened for us more and more. It is the rich mercy of God when affliction causes us to break off with our sins. It is the rich mercy of God that causes us to break off with our sins when we are in affliction. Painful as it may be, it's for our happiness that the Lord visits us in this way. The Lord visits in affliction. The Lord also visits in goodness. It's for a new beginning. It's for the dawning of a glorious light which is prepared for us as the morning. We come now to the last thought. Naomi could not continue dwelling in Moab. She couldn't be at home there any longer. And this is evidence of her election in grace. This returning to the Lord argues repentance by grace. If Naomi remained in the place of rebellion, if she remained in the place of the curse, she also would die away from the Lord. Now, how awful it is to die out of the place of fellowship with God. How dreadful. And this is something that we must each one honestly face. You, my friend, how can you die and not be right with God? What a dreadful way to die. What a dreadful thing it is to die away from God. And let us be very careful not to willingly condone sin in our lives. Or you will die if you condone sin in your life. You will die, and how dreadful will such a death be. Romans chapter 8 speaks much to this issue. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Chapter 8 and verse 6 of Romans. You drop down to verses 13 and 14. For if we live after the flesh, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What is that telling us? That's telling us, you want to know if you're a true child of God? Are you going to condone sin in your life? Are you going to toy with sin? Are you going to tolerate sin? Are you going to play with the world and its evil lust and the filth of our society? Or are you rather going to mortify the deeds of the flesh? This is one way that you know you're a child of God. If through the Spirit you're mortifying the deeds of the flesh, then you're going to live. But if you don't and you continue in sin, you're simply saying, I am not a child of God. Naomi could not remain in Moab's plenty and prosperity. Had she remained there, it would have been her destruction. The Lord uses the means of judgment. He uses the means of affliction. He also uses the means of goodness to bring us to repentance. Goodness and affliction to save His people from their sins. So no matter which of the two He uses, they're both His instruments to awaken the soul. If the Lord has awakened you, then praise Him for bringing you to true repentance. Always be glad for repentance. Martin Luther said the essence of the Christian life is that of constantly repenting. We need to repent. Welcome repentance. Don't resist it. Be thankful for the priceless gift of repentance. God means to bless you indeed. Listen to His voice with gladness. In the day of awakening, Naomi found that she had gained nothing by wandering from God. There had been a famine in Judah, yes, but there was a far worse famine in Moab than there was in Judah. It was a famine of spiritual things. The Word of God. It's the same with every sinner. You're never really made happier by transgression. You're never made more content by sin. We can all honestly say, I have sinned, and what has it profited me? There is not a single real pleasure or joy or gain in this life which you can look at and truly say, at least this is the result of my sin. There's nothing we can say that. Any sinner that is caused by God to face the facts can only say, it is all to my shame that I have been and lived in such a way. Our text has shown us reaping awful results, rising after ruin, returning argues repentance. So I'm going to conclude for a little while this morning. Not immediately, but I'm going to conclude. I call on you to remember that repentance is the gift of God, just like faith is. Acts chapter 11 and verse 18. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 25. Both of those texts tell us that God gives, that God grants repentance out of His own marvelous grace. It is some of the good news of the gospel. For remember, Naomi was moved when she heard good news from a far country. She heard the good news, however it traveled. The news got to her that God had visited His people, giving them bread. This news is typical of the best news of all, that the true bread of God has come down from heaven for the blessing of His people. Here is soul nourishing truth. Though the curse of famine is just, and it's right for God to execute the curse of famine upon a wicked and rebellious people. It's right. Nevertheless, there is life-giving, life-sustaining bread for sinners who are blessed with the gifts of repentance and faith. What precious intelligence this was that came to Naomi. The Lord had visited His people, giving them bread. What kind of bread? Not just physical bread. Here is a renewing for this woman. Here is coming a wonderful encounter with a kinsman redeemer. The Lord had visited His people, giving them bread. Here is the pardoning love and the saving grace of God set forth so clearly. There is good news for sinners who will believe. Complete atonement has been made by the blood of Jesus for those who believe in Him. Full salvation comes through the merits and the death of Him who is the living bread. God is reconciled to those who rebelled against Him. The message comes to you today, dear hearer. The message is so clear. Receive it and rejoice in it. Have you been wandering from God? Awakened wanderer, I urge you today to set out at once to return to the Lord. Like Naomi, go out of the place where you are and flee to the true kinsman redeemer. Go directly to Him. Don't try any more of the broken cisterns of Moab or of the world. Christ alone can save you, can satisfy you, can sustain you now and forever. Go to Bethlehem, the house of bread, for it is the true bread of God that has visited His people there. Go to Him without delay, for now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God that He has visited His people with bread. May the Lord nourish you not only upon the written Word, the inscripturated bread, But may He cause you to know the blessing of the incarnate bread of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Let us pray together. What a privilege it is to take Thy holy word into our hand. But oh, for that supreme blessing for each one that has gathered here this morning to not only hold the bread in the hand, but to take the bread and assimilate it into the heart and throughout the being. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts. Please, let us not escape this message that Naomi found she could not escape. Lord, make it effectual. Cause us to rise up from the place where we are and return to the Lord. To the Lord of His covenant people. To the place of the covenant blessing. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt hear us for the sake of our great, grand, and glorious kinsman Redeemer. Amen. Amen.